Hello and welcome to the USA Rugby Happy Hour Live. This is a one-of-a-kind show here in the U.S. We talk to the biggest names in Major League Rugby, USA Rugby, and plenty more. We are here for the next hour to get updates on future shows and news about USA Rugby, Major League Rugby, and more. Follow Eagles Overseas and Rugby Morning here on Twitter and most other social media channels. All right, let's get it going. I am Bill Baker of Eagles Overseas, also the host of the Eagle-Eyed Rugby Podcast, and to introduce himself is my co-host, John Fitzpatrick.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Hey, as Bill mentioned, I'm John from Rugby Morning, and what we do is we curate the top rugby news from around the world. We put an American point of view on it, and we deliver it to your inbox Monday through Saturday morning, so you can stay informed in 5 minutes or less. You can find us on social at Rugby Morning. Bill, I'm excited for tonight's show.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We had off last week, so, I've been building up some questions, you know, that kind of stuff. And our guest today is, great to have him on. He is the pride of Athlone, the more famous of the Carty brothers, if you ask us. Let's welcome to the show Luke Carty. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Bill. Hi, John. Thanks for having me on.
So, what's going on these days? Unfortunately, you're not in the pitch.
Yeah, so I'm 2 weeks post-surgery. I injured my pec, so I tore my pec tendon off the bone, unfortunately. So that happened around a month ago, and I'm just over two weeks post-surgery. So lying low at the moment. I get my stitches out on Monday, and hopefully can get back onto rehab then and get back to trying to get on the pitch.
So how'd that happen? Do you remember the moment it happened?
It was 2 weeks before the season started, the week before our first preseason game, and we had kind of a beach session on a Friday, and I make sort of an awkward tackle and just got a bang on my pec and shoulder, and I knew pretty much straight away there was a pop, and I knew something was wrong, and went and got it checked out straight away, and unfortunately we knew it was bad news then, and got surgery maybe 10 days later, so here we are now.
Here you are now. And what does rehab look like?
At the moment, not a lot, because I still have my stitches in, and you're worried about infection and stuff like that. So pretty much sitting around, just, I suppose, keeping myself busy. I can do a small bit of rehab, but pretty quiet at the moment.
Don't want to push it right now. What's the length like? You're going to be back this season?
It's hard to say at the moment. I mean, obviously, I'd like to be back. It's anywhere from 4 to 6 months, and the optimist in me, from when I got surgery, I'll be back maybe our last regular season game, which is against Seattle. So that will probably be pushing it a little bit. It's anywhere from 4 to 6 months. So look, I'll just take it week by week. That's what some of the guys here who've had long-term injuries say to do, just take every week as it comes. And I hope I'm back for the end of the season.
Yeah. And work hard at that PT. I know I just had surgery on my knee for a ruptured ACL and a torn meniscus, and it's 6 to 8 months for me. And that's just with, a little PT here and there, and hopefully get back to my playing days. Well, which will never happen, actually, because I'm way past those playing days. But
it's a big injury. So best of luck with that one.
Yeah, thank you. So what's keeping you busy now? Are you one of the people who's picked up Wordle?
I tried to. That wouldn't be one of my strong points. Last year when we were in season, I'd started a master's back home, so I was pretty busy all the time. I was training, and then with time difference and stuff back in Dublin, I was jumping on lectures late at night and doing assignments and whatnot. So I'm actually kind of enjoying just the free time and being by the beach, so it's a bit of a change this time around, but I'm sure I'll pick up a hobby or something over the next few months.
Like, there's nothing to do in LA in that area, so or no beach to go to, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's got to be killing you, though, because, you're an athlete. You've been playing rugby for a while. It's sitting around, not even able to move your arm or whatever has got to be killing you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even the release of, the chemicals, I suppose you could say, whenever you're out training and stuff, and just the excitement of being on the pitch, it's taken a bit getting used to, but I mean, look, there's a lot worse injuries I could have. I could be in a worse spot. I'm just trying to take the positives from it and hopefully get back soon.
Yeah. And like I said, everybody, you know, thanks everyone jumping in. You were only about 6 minutes into this show, into USA Rugby Happy Hour Live. Please get a second. If you want to come up and talk, go ahead and request it. And we'll get you up here. Ask Luke, you know, John, myself, any questions if you like. You know, anything you want of Luke. I'm sure he has a, you know, a good response to some knitting lessons or something. I don't know what Luke likes to do on the side. No Wordle, of course. but, you know, come on up. Let's talk. You know, people will be filling in here more and more as we go on, and we'll get the show going. So let's just jump into Major League Rugby, Luke. You know, obviously you're not playing this season. Your first home match is this Saturday against the Free Jacks, or my home team. And last year you opened up the season against the Free Jacks as well. You know, anything different this year as far as going into your first home match? I mean, every team has things different, but how is the team approaching these games or this match in particular?
Yeah, I mean, watching the Free Jacks games, I suppose something that's kind of keeping me busy and my role at the moment is I can kind of watch games and, you know, do some video analysis and stuff like that. But they're definitely a strong team. I think anyone who's been watching so far this year will agree that every team has got stronger. It's going to be really competitive this year and you just got to take it every game as it comes. So, yeah, they're going to be strong. And I know the boys have been working hard and doing their homework this week. So, yeah, I think we're just really looking forward to it more than anything and looking forward to the challenge ahead.
Well, and it should be a fun weekend. I mean, you're at the pregame ceremony. You're going to be, you know, revealing the championship banner. Quite a bit of celebration going on this weekend.
Yeah, it should be good. And I mean, last year we had to wait maybe till nearly halfway through the season before we could get fans there. So, and we were still, you know, trying to establish a fan base and stuff. So I know the rugby community here has been really getting behind us this year. And yeah, just looking forward to seeing how the boys go and seeing some fans in the stand again.
All right, let's jump to our first listener. Jaden, thanks for coming up. What's going on?
How's it going, guys?
Great.
Well, you know, coincidentally, also currently recovering from a shoulder surgery. So good luck with that, Luke.
Thank you. You too.
And I had a quick question. I'm a relatively new rugby fan. One of the things that drew me to the sport from my football background was I love the internationals, and it's more involved in the sport than any other sport I've ever seen. And in my opinion, I think for America to become a top-level rugby nation, like I think we can, it's all about having a consistent international schedule like the other countries do. Is there anything like that in the works? What's your opinion on that? And do you think that's on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's lots of talks in World Rugby about having a global season so that all of the seasons align, which is probably way above my head. But I think in the US, you know, our season is as the major sporting, you know, the NFL just ended and whatnot. And yeah, I think we're just trying to draw new fans at the moment and make the sport as interesting and as interactive to fans as it can. You know, it's a pretty fast-paced game. We're trying to advertise that as, you know, it's no pads, no stoppages. So I think in order to answer your question, to make it a global game within the US, I think we need to, you know, appeal to new fans and make the game as exciting as we can.
And if I can jump in after Luke there, Jaden, as a new, I guess, a relatively new fan to the sport, if you're around the TV this weekend, certainly you may see the Six Nations on Peacock TV and CNBC, but essentially that's the annual competition that takes place in Europe. And certainly there are other competitions like that around the world, the Rugby Championship down there in the Southern Hemisphere for now with South Africa, Australia and New Zealand. But in terms of regionally for the U.S., I think that's certainly one thing that the U.S. Eagles have certainly talked about bringing back, and that is the America Rugby Championship, which was a big regional competition that took place between the U.S., Canada, and some of the top kind of countries in South America, maybe even tier two, if you will, but Uruguay, Chile, Argentina's like 15, Brazil. But that went away a couple of years ago before COVID, but their recent reports have talked about bringing that back. And I think that's key because I think, and Luke can probably attest to this, right, just having a regular serious competition annually where U.S. Eagles can play at a high level. That's what the sport needs here in the U.S., really, to grow internationally, is really bringing back a competition like ARC. And it sounds like the powers to be have decided that this is something that is good for the sport in this part of the world. And hopefully that happens, because that's certainly something that I think everyone, Peter here, I know, he's joined us a few times. He's talked about bringing back the ARC, but that's certainly something that we hope comes back, because that's sorely needed.
You know, that's great to hear. I've really have only started watching rugby seriously in the past year, but I've been diving in, watching as many games as I can find. And I've been locked in on the Six Nations. I would love to see something like that for the U.S. because I watched those tests last summer, but it's nothing compared to what I've seen from the other countries. And I think that would be really awesome for American rugby fans, because that's what drew me to the sport over other things, was the fact that there's an American team that can play more often than just every 4 years.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. I thought about the other day, Jaden. I was thinking, what other sports do it other than, you know, soccer or football and rugby? A couple of those, of course, but as far as big name sports go, it's great, you know. And what we need to do, and I'm going to reference back to an article that we did with Eagles Overseas about how to watch rugby here in the States. What we need to do is get the USA side on, you know, in front of more eyes, which I hope we see come 2023 or so, when Flow Sports contract is up with USA Rugby. And my guess would be that NBC Sports or Peacock would take up rights for a while, just because of potential World Cup in 2031. They want to get more eyes in front of the game, which would be, you know, more viewers in 2031. So that's exciting to look forward to, you know, the World Cup at least. And hopefully our guest today is on in a USA uniform in 2031 for that match. That's a long time from now, isn't it, Luke? Is that a long time?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like COVID started maybe 10 years ago, so, and that was only two. So we'll take it as it comes.
You know, can you talk a bit about the origins for you? You know, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but we nearly didn't have you in Major League Rugby or USA Rugby because you signed a deal to go down to the Shoot Shield, which, however, was canceled, unfortunately, because of COVID-19. You know, talk about that move to MLR for you.
Yeah, so when I was growing up, I was in the academy in Connacht. It's one of the four provinces in Ireland. And yeah, when I finished up there, I didn't get a pro deal and was, you know, looking at other options. In my head, I'd kind of identified that I'd love to come over to the US, and obviously my eligibility, I've been thinking about it when I was growing up, because I've got a lot of family over here and my grandparents are from here and stuff. So yeah, the opportunity came up to go to Sydney and just play some club rugby down there to experience something different. And like you said, that was cancelled with COVID-19. And the coach of the team I was supposed to go to was Darren Coleman, and he was actually LA's coach last year. He's since gone back to Australia. So yeah, he basically hit me up a few months after my chance to go to Australia fell through, and I'd been looking into, you know, MLR teams and how I could get over here. And yeah, kind of went from there. Maybe March 2020, I had a call with Gary Gold. He right. kind of heard that I was maybe looking at coming over, and he said, look, we'd be interested in having you. Just get over here, get playing some games, and we'll go from there. So it all kind of worked out in the end. Obviously, it was a bit of everything was thrown up in the air with COVID, but up until maybe a month ago, everything seemed to be working out pretty well.
And you did spend a short amount of time here in 2019 against the Free Jacks when you were with Connacht A in the, was it Carra Cup? Saying it wrong.
Yeah, Carra Cup. It was the Free Jacks inaugural season, so they weren't in MLR yet. And, you know, there's obviously quite a strong Irish-American link there between Boston and Ireland. So, yeah, they had the four provinces in Ireland over playing games. So we played the Free Jacks on St. Paddy's Day weekend, which was a bit of fun. Experiencing South Boston that weekend was good. And then, yeah, we played Ulster the following weekend. So I think when I got to experience that and see, you know, the Free Jacks weren't even in the MLR yet, and there was quite a bit of a buzz and excitement and around the game. So I think that kind of from there, I knew this was a realistic option and something I was going to try and do.
Yeah, I was out. I came out to a couple of those matches. I was, I think it was when you played Munster. I think you two faced each other. It was a good match. But it was good to see that level rugby before New England had their MLR team. You know, in this region, the New England region has a lot of rugby clubs. So it's good to see that level of play coming in and sharing the wealth. I mean, were you able to get around during that time? And that was that your first trip to the States?
No, I'd actually been over quite a bit when I was a kid. My aunt lives in Virginia, maybe only Arlington, I think. And then I have an uncle in New York. I've got more cousins in upstate New York, and then my grandmother's family all grew up in New York as well. So I've quite a bit of family around there. There was always a strong kind of Irish American link. So yeah, I enjoyed South Boston on Paddy's Day weekend. Was pretty good, like I said.
Yeah, I mean, it's no shortage of Irish pubs in this area as well, so
Yeah, it was good fun.
So when you were coming over here to MLR, I know you got a call from to come to LA, but were there other teams looking for you or looking at you as well?
Yeah, I've been talking to the Free Jacks as well, but it was more so I kind of already established a link with DC. I kind of knew he was a good coach, and I had some kind of mutual friends, you could say, or mutual people who were links in rugby. And I just went with, I'd already known I was going to go play for him. So yeah, I just stuck with him, I suppose. And I knew some other guys, Sean McNulty, who's also, Irish American. He grew up in Rye in New York for the most of his childhood. So I knew Sean, and I knew he was coming over too, and Harry, his brother. So that kind of tied me in as well.
All right. Well, shifting back to LA, let's talk about your teammates here, Luke. I mean, there are some obviously big names there that you probably were familiar with growing up while watching the game. Not many fellow Irishmen, but obviously the Australian contingent is pretty big there. And then you're adding in Will Chambers this year. Henko Chrimesais is there. On paper, this is such a strong team. So talk about that. Last year, playing with with those players, Cooper and everyone else, what was that like for you, and how much did you learn from those guys?
I mean, it was a bit surreal. Obviously, I was going from, playing rugby in Ireland, probably not going to continue looking at playing pro rugby to, you had, like you said, Adam Ashley Cooper, you Gates and whatnot. So yeah, it was pretty surreal getting to play with those guys and learn from them. So yeah, it was pretty good.
Luke, you had mentioned, DC. He's now Darren Coleman. He's now coaching the Waratahs Super Rugby Pacific. And kind of just building off of last year's amazing run that the Giltinis had winning the MLR Shield. So been a little bit of turnover there in the coaching staff, and of course Stephen Wells has jumped up, put his hand up, and is now coaching the squad. But in terms of defending the title, we can talk about that Houston game here in a little bit. But what do you feel like is the identity of this team this year? Has it changed all that much from the first year, or can we expect something a little bit different from LA?
I mean, we've kind of forgotten about last season now. That's a big thing we're talking about. That's it's back to now, kind of just to forget about it, I suppose. And yeah, we obviously, you look at our team's social media and stuff, you think it's all fun and no work, but I think we've worked pretty hard this year, and that's kind of the new identity we're trying to get after, is just, work hard and the results will come. So we've got probably obviously a target on our back because we are champions. You saw that in round one in Houston and up in Toronto as well, or in Vancouver, I should say. But yeah, it's kind of back to working hard and letting the results take care of themselves, I suppose.
Yeah, speaking of that round one match against Houston, was that, of course, obviously, not the way you want to start the season, but were you guys maybe a little surprised by how well Houston played, considering, they had a tough year last year, only 2 wins?
No, not at all, really. We before the game, we knew they were going to be pretty good. I think just from watching the game, maybe the guys just didn't perform, and it was a bad day at the office. But I don't think anyone's taking any team lightly this year. I think everyone's improved an awful lot with COVID now almost kind of gone. Everyone's got a full preseason, and teams are all definitely getting better. So yeah, I think that was just an example of how everyone's got better across the board, especially in particular Houston.
And looking at LA right now, you have like one of the nicest stadiums in the United States, let alone just for rugby. LA Coliseum. I mean, just I've been in that place once for another event, and to play in that environment, obviously you're not filling the place up, but what's your impression of that stadium, that environment of the Coliseum?
Yeah, I mean, early 2020, when I was talking to coaches and stuff, and the management here, it was talked about playing the Coliseum, and I thought, right, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, the first training session we had there was pretty surreal, like, you know, the history of the place and everything. But it's a pretty incredible stadium. And then our first home game we had with fans was against San Diego, and I started that game. That was my first start at home, and although we only had a couple of thousand there, it felt like the place was pretty loud. So yeah, it's pretty cool, and here's to hopefully getting more fans this year and try and get more noise in there.
Well, speaking of noise, just a couple weeks ago, NASCAR had a race in there. Did you see that?
Yeah, we actually went. Some of us went. We were trying to. There was a fan zone out the front, and we were promoting. It was the weekend, I think, of the Houston game, or mm-hmm. I'm not sure which game. So we were trying to, you know, promote it, and we got a few people to, you know, say they're going to come to our next game, and hopefully they show up on Sunday. But yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, I don't think it was designed for the acoustics of a NASCAR race. It was pretty loud, but yeah, it's pretty cool to experience that.
No, it's definitely not the location for a race. I do a lot of work for NASCAR, actually, and I talked to some people on the inside for that race, and they said there was 600 dump trucks of dirt. The sod was torn up, six layers of asphalt. You know, when they started the track, I think a month prior to the race, and then at 10 o'clock the night of the race, everything is torn apart, and 2 weeks later there's grass in the field and you guys are having a match this weekend. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty crazy when you think about it.
No, Luke, I was going to say, I was on social media a couple of weekends ago for watching the Super Bowl, of course, and I saw a photo of Matt Gitteau and I think Adam Ashley Cooper at SoFi Stadium. Did you get a chance to get a ticket and attend the game as well?
No, unfortunately not. My roommate is Lindsay Stevens. He's a Canadian. He also grew up in the US and Australia, but he went to the game, and yeah, I got to see some of the guys, the pictures at it, and they said it was pretty incredible. So I was definitely jealous. I was only post-surgery, so I didn't even try to get a ticket. Not that I would have been able to afford one, but yeah, it looked pretty cool.
Well, you know, since you've been living in LA for a little bit now, of course, everyone's got their classic celebrity running story. Have you had a celebrity encounter yet since you've been living in LA?
Yeah, I suppose we went to a bar on a Saturday night after we won a game, and there was just kind of some celebrity heads knocking around, which was pretty cool. And one of those places you got to tape up your phone camera, which I thought was pretty surreal, being a boy from the countryside in Ireland. But no, not too many. Not too many of those classic stories yet, but we'll see. Hopefully some more this year.
And on that note, if a producer came to you and said, well, listen, we want to tell the story of Luke Carty, and they ask you, who would you want to play you? Who would it be?
Oh, I don't know. You're gonna probably say, have to be someone with not much tan and not a great rig at the moment. So you'll leave that to your imagination.
Matt Damon's played a couple of rugby roles. He could be a good stand-in for you, Luke.
Yeah, there's a good one. Yeah, bingo.
Hopefully not Brad Pitt from Devil's Own or Devil's Land, horrible Irish accent. But what point, I mean, you have family in the U.S., so was there a point where you knew you were qualified for USA Rugby, and how did you know?
Yeah, always growing up. I mean, I can remember I came over to visit my cousins in Virginia one 4th of July, and I just remember they were playing football and stuff kind of with their neighbors and stuff. I remember thinking that was pretty cool, and yeah, just since growing up I always knew maybe it was an option, and yeah, maybe that time we played against the Free Jacks, it kind of solidified that it was a realistic route and stuff.
Nice.
So yeah, it's always been in the back of my head.
Now, I'm assuming when you were younger also, when you really were playing more and more rugby, I know you played a bunch of different sports, but as you're playing more and more rugby, you're probably thinking, you know what, I would love to play in Aviva, but you probably didn't think you'd be doing it in a USA uniform, did you?
Yeah, I mean, it's strange how it all works out, but yeah, it was actually a really, really proud day, and looking back at it now, it's something I'll remember forever. Obviously, the result didn't go our way, but yeah, here's to hopefully having more days like that and with better results in the USA jersey.
And another comment for you before, and we'll go back to you, Jaden, in a second, but Luke, specifically about that match against Ireland, I was hoping, I think a lot of people were hoping that your brother would be on the pitch with you and against you, and of course he wasn't selected for that match. Were you disappointed? Have you played against him before?
No, maybe when we trained against each other in Connacht and stuff, but right. I know he's been, last year, unfortunately, the game that was meant to be in Las Vegas between Ireland and the US was called off, so hopefully I can get back fit. I know he's in the Ireland squad at the moment, and he can keep going. And who knows, maybe we get to play against each other someday.
Nice. Jaden, thanks for coming back up.
Hey, thanks. Don't mean to hog the mic, but I got a quick question for you, Luke. You know, you have a really interesting perspective on this, given the dichotomy with you and your brother. I actually DM'd the Eagles overseas Instagram not too long ago asking about another possible Eagle, Alex McKenzie, who could also possibly play for Japan. And there's a few other names that I've been looking into and I've thought about. What do you think USA Rugby needs to do in order to recruit possible dual citizen guys as well as developing homegrown talent through the MLR?
Yeah, I suppose that's a tough one, but I think it's been tough. USA, obviously, we're building quite good for that World Cup, and talking to some of the guys, you know, they maybe left a few results behind them in the 2019 World Cup. And yeah, I think just getting back to maybe, like you said, a regular rugby schedule, you know, the MLR improving players and getting more homegrown talent. And then you see, you know, USA national team getting results, that's obviously going to attract in more players. So to answer your question, maybe just everything, getting more regular fixtures, getting better results and whatnot is only going to improve us. And, you know, we got some big games coming in the summer. We've obviously got those World Cup qualifiers and maybe some more games. So if we can improve from there, who knows what can happen, or who might be, you know, tuning in to watch us, and who, what kid will see that game and think, you know what, I want to play rugby. So it's interesting, and hopefully we can go from there.
Yeah, thanks. Just watching games of top leagues around the world, I've been surprised to see how many guys do have possible USA eligibility other than just, you know, playing in the MLR. So I think it would be a really good thing for USA Rugby to make playing for the Eagles enticing to more players around the world.
Yeah, hey, Jaden, thank you. I mean, it's great points, and also thank you for that tip on Alex. It's a really good tip for us. That's the kind of community that USA has with rugby as well. We're here to help each other out and point out and stuff like that. But that was a great tip. Staying online with USA eligible players or recently former, with the new World Rugby rules, as far as like 3 years, and then you could be eligible for a different country when you still qualify for. I believe, and I might have misread this, I thought Jack would have been qualified for US if he didn't get in the last minute of the France match.
Yeah, I think so. I still haven't got my head around that new rule, but yeah, it could have been a possibility, I think.
That's my impression. My thought there is that they knew that. They said, put him in with him.
Maybe. Yeah, they got three more games left in the Six Nations, so yeah. Hopefully he gets a decent run out again. I know he was going pretty good in the 2019 World Cup, and then unfortunately he hasn't got back in until last weekend. So yeah, hopefully he gets another crack at it.
Well, I think he's playing well. I mean, he had 14 points for Connacht against Scarlets, which I think this first time they've beaten Scarlet in many years. He's not like he's not worthy of it. I mean, he's playing well right now.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, you know, obviously anyone who's been watching Six Nations and stuff over the past few years, you see how good Johnny Sexton has been. So it's pretty hard to shift a player like that. But yeah, hopefully.
So who's the better fly half, you or your brother?
I'd say given his track record, well, I'll give it to him. But I have a few more years left ahead of me, so hopefully.
Of course. See. Go ahead, John.
No, I was going to say, Luke, you've won a championship, though, so you've got that at least.
Yeah, I've won MLR, and he's won one Pro 14, so hopefully I'll get one more than him this year.
That's right.
And looking and speaking of these international matches, Luke, you know, obviously your debut was against England. Again, another historic stadium we're playing in. You know, not a bad match for USA. Obviously a loss, but still respectable, I'd say. You know, and we've had this question to other guests as well. You know, talk about those, I guess, the butterflies, the, you know, the goosebumps, that kind of thing, walking into that environment, especially for a debut.
Yeah, I mean, obviously pretty nerve-wracking beforehand, but I think anyone who's been in that spot will tell you, it's as soon as the game kicks off, you get a touch of the ball, you make a tackle, the kind of nerves disappear. So I remember pretty vividly, I couldn't catch a single ball in the warm-up. Mika Kruse started laughing at me, saying, "Why can't you catch the ball?" It was pretty funny at the time. It's funny now, at the time it wasn't. But yeah, it's obviously, it was a big stage, and we were playing against some world-class players, and we did have a good result, or a good performance that day, I should say. And unfortunately, the result went against us, but we're looking to get back there this year when we have the World Cup qualifiers, to performing well and getting results.
And you seem to be a part of this new young group of USA players. You know, you just spoke of one second ago, you know, quite a few there. You know, do you feel like you have a certain responsibility now on your shoulders to, you know, I don't know, carry the torch is such a cliche thing to say, but, you know, to hopefully bring USA to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, it's just about, for now anyway, getting fit again. And when you're in camp, you know, you got to be world class at everything you do. It might necessarily be kind of flashy things, but if it's just training every day, performing to the best of your ability and preparing as best you can. So I wouldn't say there's a responsibility, but I think we all agree in the US team at the moment, we've a lot of potential in the group, and it's more so about delivering and getting results. So when we get together next time, I think that's going to be one of our focus points going into the World Cup qualifiers.
You talk about when the Eagles, you know, get together again, and it'll probably be in the run-up, you know, camp before the next qualifying series against Chile in July. What's kind of the contact been between the Eagles coaching staff and some of the players in the pool in terms of preparing for the Chile match, or matches, I should say?
Yeah, so we obviously had the games back in October, and since then, you know, we've just had kind of some conversations with the coaches and stuff. We're linking up for a camp in the next few weeks, I think, or next few months. And then, yeah, I mean, you play against the guys week in, week out, obviously watching a lot of games. It's good to see, you know, a lot of guys are getting back to full fitness and playing quite well. And obviously with the MLR being so competitive this year, that's going to no doubt benefit the USA team. So,
Yeah, no, even certainly, you know, just looking about, you know, talking about growing rugby outside of, you know, Europe and Australia, New Zealand and South Africa, while it was tough to see from a USA rugby perspective, you know, a loss to Uruguay, but it's good to see countries in South America like Uruguay and Chile and really come up and start to develop their programs. You know, Chile had a pretty good series against Canada there, but in terms of what the Eagles have been able to do in terms of scouting, what are your kind of impressions leading up to Chile?
Yeah, like I said previous, we obviously have a lot of talent in the group. I'm sure everyone who's been watching, you know, the USA games or watching MLR recently, Pete Lapetti obviously is one player who's been standing out. He's been pretty incredible. So I think, again, kind of banging the same drum here, but seeing the players that are being found in the US and they're playing some high quality rugby, it's only going to benefit us going into the World Cup qualifiers. We're under no illusions as how good, you know, Chile are. Canada were a pretty strong team, and Chile put them away in the second leg. So yeah, we're going to have our work cut out for us in the World Cup qualifiers. But if we get our work done, it's going to be pretty good.
So same line of questioning with USA Rugby, you know, it just for you to get that international level, and this is, everyone has their different reactions to it, you know, getting into that environment, you know, paint a picture for us what it was like for you to step into an international camp and especially the first international match for you, the difference between, you know, playing, you know, at a professional level and then going to an international level. You know, what did it take for you to do that? And then, you know, just what was the speed like? What was the physicality like?
Yeah, so I suppose going into that England game, I was trying to tell myself, you know, don't go into your shell. You know, just have a go and see how it goes. Back yourself, I suppose, is a good way of saying it. And yeah, I'm the skill execution, I suppose, and the pace was a big thing I noticed. Like, teams don't need, if you give them one chance, they're going to take it. As we obviously learned in that England game, they get a half break or we make a half mistake, they're going to put you under pressure. So, yeah, that was the biggest thing I noticed was the speed and kind of, yeah, skill execution was a big jump.
and certain teams are quicker, obviously, you know, pretty historic playing against the All Blacks. And again, we'll put that game behind all of us. But it seemed like that was a different speed as well. You know, looking at that game, it was a lot to learn as for a team. I'm sure you understand. And, you know, what were some of the takeaways? What were the positives coming out of a match like that?
It probably stings a lot and still does that game. And I mean, we definitely didn't give a good account of ourselves, all things considered, considering how well we prepared. And, you know, coming off the Uruguay game, probably we were just I wouldn't say down, but it was a bit of a tough one to go into. So I suppose what you can learn from it is, yeah, that's where the benchmark is, you know, playing against some of the best players in the world. It can only benefit us, you know, you win or you learn. So I think we definitely picked up some learnings from that, and hopefully we can bring them into this World Cup qualifiers now.
Yeah, look, I attended that match there at FedEx Field where the now Washington Commanders play. But there was nearly 40,000 fans that were at the stadium, which I think was a good sign, right, in the run-up to a bid for the Rugby World Cup, and hopefully getting that in 2031, but and, you know, during COVID and all that stuff. But, you know, when the Eagles walked out, when you guys ran out onto the pitch, knowing that there was 40,000 fans in a NFL stadium watching a rugby match, could you guys hear the crowd? Was that something that you guys picked up?
Yeah, I mean, you pick it up when the anthem's playing, and you come out in the field. It was pretty loud, and then I sort of don't really. Once you're on the field, it's pretty hard to notice we were. But yeah, it was definitely cool. 40,000 fans at a rugby game. You know, I wouldn't have, when I moved over in February 2020. I wouldn't have thought I was going to get an opportunity to do something like that in a pretty cool stadium. So yeah, it was a pretty great experience.
And so. Luke, be careful how you answer this. How do you like playing alongside Ruben de Haas? Because someone's about to come up and talk.
yeah, I can see his dad's waiting here, so I suppose I better say it's good, or Ruben will get me, or his dad will get me. So, no. Yeah, Ruben's obviously is we don't need anyone else to point out how good he is. He's in Saracens now, and he was in the Cheetahs before that. So it's good to see him getting some games under his belt. So, yeah, an incredible player, and one who hopefully – I'll get to keep playing with going forward.
Peter, good to see you up here. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Hi, Luke. Yeah, I just actually came back from dinner, and Aldroops ran off with his friends, and as he said, asked me to say hi to you or send his regards. But, yeah, Luke, I've just got a question. The guys just touched on it now. You said, you know, you learn a lot from these games that you lose, like against England and the All Blacks, etc. And just to add to that, a question that I sit as a rugby supporter and I look at the other leagues, you know, like the Premiership or the Super Rugby or whatnot. You know, you look at the MLR and you look at differences and, you know, the time ball in play. And, you know, sometimes I look at I see how, you know, the guys put two or three phases together and there's a mistake. There's not a lot of continuity and some basic errors. My question to you is, what do you see, what aspect of the game do you think we lack or we can do better in the MLR? You know, obviously, I, again, look as a fan, I look at the amazing stuff the guys are doing off the field and the promotion of the league and all the razzle-dazzle and the marketing aspects and the media hyping up the players and just making the visibility. But on field, if you look at the play, what do you think is set pieces or what aspect of the game do you think the MLR, you know, we fall behind compared to other rugby leagues in the world?
So, yeah, that's a great question. I think it's gradually improving now and definitely is improving this year. We had a game, the Giltinis, last year against Austin when Ruben was on loan there, playing there. And I think the ball in play was up on 40 minutes, which is pretty high given any standard in the world. So to see that transferring in the MLR and now hopefully this year transferring across the board is pretty high. It's a pretty good thing to see. So, yeah, to answer your question, I'd say the contact, you know, the game is it's probably slowly getting quicker over here and skill execution and then, you know, speed like we talked about with that English game. So I'd say that'll start, you know, getting better as teams get to, you know, spend more time together. There's better, you know, more professional setups. you know, guys in America are being playing rugby at a younger age. So it'll definitely be interesting to see this year how, with the league improving, that improves. But yeah, I definitely noticed throughout certain games last year, you could tell different teams who were, you know, more prepared, or maybe team across the board was fitness was better. You could see the ball in play a lot more, and there's less skill errors. So I'd say, to answer your question, fitness and probably physicality and stuff like that definitely plays a factor in, you know, the ball in play and how that's going to transfer into international games and whatnot.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for coming up. Always good to hear from you. And but it's good to see those players still making a move overseas. You know, and look, this is just more of an opinion for you, obviously. But I mean, as MLR improves, I mean, I still think there's room for players to go over to Europe to play in Premiership, to play in top 14 Pro du Trois. You know, what's your feelings about that? I mean, if the spot came up for you, let's say, you know, which would be tough to play in the Irish provinces now since you're Cafe USA, but what if a spot came up? Would that be something you would do?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with me being injured now and missing quite a big deal of the season, mm-hmm. I hope I'm in the US squad, but if not, that was, you know, I'm going to go, if MLR doesn't start till 2023 again, I've got nearly almost a year, you know, without playing rugby. So I think, yeah, it's good to see some guys like Sam Wuching, Mike Basker in Rouen in France, and then you got obviously a lot of guys in the top 14 and in the Premiership. So to answer your question, yeah, definitely something I'd be interested in, and it's cool the way, you know, the MLR season as it stands, it's almost you can play the MLR season and then you might get, you know, a couple of months with a short-term deal in the Northern Hemisphere somewhere. So yeah, for now I'm going to try to get back and play a part in the Giltinis this year, and yeah, we'll go from there.
And your contract is up at the end of the season, unless that's changed since the last I read it. So obviously you're going to have options to think about, but we all want you to stay if you can. you know,
that's the plan for sure.
Yeah, of course. I just want to jump around a little bit. You know, I know you didn't get into the Canadian matches, but have you had any, have you heard much about that rivalry with USA and Canada? You know, there's always like the Hate Canada Week. You know, have you heard much about that? And is that something you're looking forward to getting involved in?
Yeah, I mean, in the build up to in the World Cup qualifiers, the boys always, you know, the summer games were all important, but the biggest one was the World Cup qualifiers, and the guys kind of filled me in on the rivalry and stuff. And that's probably why the loss up in St. John's, Newfoundland, stung a bit, because the guys hadn't lost in quite some time there. So that's why we tried to get a big bounce back the following week. So yeah, it's definitely a big rivalry and one that I'm looking forward to keep on playing in. Obviously, there's got some guys here in LA, Corey Thomas and Ben Lesage and the Justice Sears Zuru. So yeah, it's definitely a good rivalry and one that I'm looking forward to being involved in.
And looking forward, you know, we've been talking about the World Cup quals with Chile. You know, there's been rumors, you know, obviously number one for you is getting fit and playing anywhere, let alone USA side. But, you know, there were word of French Barbarians against USA this year. You know, rumors of Ireland participating in the 1874 Cup. Ireland always seems to be a great, you know, opponent over here in the United States. And I'm going to brag a little bit. I was at that Ireland All Blacks match in Chicago a number of years ago. Fantastic. But, you know, have you heard anything? And this is all off the record. Well, not off the record. Everyone's listening. have you heard much about potential matches for USA this summer?
Yeah, to answer your question, I'm not sure. We haven't really heard much. I'm sure there'll be more about it when we link up again. But, yeah, for now, it's just the thinking about that World Cup qualifier and building for that.
And then what's your impression of the Major League Rugby season? It's, what, 17 weeks or so? You know, while other leagues, the Premiership seems like they're playing all year round, which is a lot of rugby. But then again, you know, there's a lot of players that leave MLR and immediately go join, you know, a Southern Hemisphere team and play until the next season.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely got its pros and cons. And I think as the league grows and you get more players and, you know, more franchises and whatnot, it'll definitely grow. So, yeah, I think as the league grows, that's definitely just going to benefit USA rugby going forward.
Luke, just give us a thought here. What's it going to take for LA to win the MLR again this year? I mean, I know it's a very, very generic question, but what's it going to take for you guys?
Yeah, that is a tough one. But I think you can't really take take your eyes off just week by week. You know, every, as I said again, every team's improved. You know, we're technically 1-1. We've got teams who are 3-0 there. So yeah, to answer your question, it's got to be just consistency and focusing on each week as it comes, not getting too far ahead of yourselves. And I think last year we kind of learned that, you know, sometimes we'd be looking too far ahead or not necessarily, you know, each game. You could say this year, especially that we're champions, is going to be a final for every team. You know, they're going to want to knock us off the top. So yeah, just to prepare every week as it comes, and hopefully everything will take care of itself from there.
Bill, I'm going to jump in here and these last few minutes ask Luke a bunch of different type of questions. So Luke, when you were growing up and you were first playing rugby, who were some of the players that that you admired and wanted to model your game after?
Yeah, growing up, so probably would have been the Dan Carters, Johnny Wilkinsons, Ronan O'Gara, those kind of players, I think. Yeah, like obviously kicking the ball and stuff like that, and those players were obviously the best at it. And yeah, it's pretty cool, obviously, to get to watching Gates as a kid, Matt Giddo, to now get to play with him. So yeah, I suppose any international rugby star around that era.
You know, being a fan of Wilkinson, could we expect to see you maybe trying to drop goal at some point when you're back and healthy playing for the Giltinis?
Yeah, hopefully, and hopefully I get a bigger one than Ruben, so then he got in that Canada game so we can stop talking about it. So yeah,
I mean, that was a huge moment. I think we were all a little surprised. Maybe Peter wasn't so much, but when I was watching that, I nearly dropped my beer when I was at home. But
yeah, no, it was a special one. It was pretty good to be watching that.
Was that something, I just see on that moment for a second, was that something that was kind of talked about, you know, in training? Like, if there's an opportunity for this, there's a green light. Is there a couple players on the squad that have the green light to try something like that?
Yeah, and no, I suppose, yeah. Ruben's obviously, I suppose, from being up in the altitude in South Africa, he's well able to probably hit drop goals like that. And Denver's the same, obviously, the Mile High City. So, yeah, I can remember there was a few of us kicking them around during the week. And, yeah, once that, I think it was either a goal line dropout or 22-meter dropout landed in Ruben's hands, I knew he was going to go for it. And, yeah, he nailed it.
Well, we've got Peter here. Peter, I think you've got a comment on this. Feel free to ask your question or comment.
I wanted to say, I think Ruben was more surprised than any of us. he just needed luck there.
So, Peter, you didn't teach him that, or was that something he did on his own?
No, I think he just got lucky. That's it.
Oh, that's good stuff. Thanks, Peter, for commenting on that. Luke, back to you for there. If not for rugby, what sport would you want to play professionally, whether US or in Europe?
So, yeah, when I was growing up, I was big into soccer and Gaelic football in Ireland, and I thought I was going to be playing for Manchester United playing soccer, but that didn't really come to fruition. So since I've been over here, I went to the Genesis Open in golf last week. I think that was pretty incredible to get to within 20 feet of Tiger Woods was pretty cool. So if I could be pro at anything, not that I'm any good, I think golf would be pretty cool.
Do you have a handicap in golf? Are you a scratch golfer?
Not good enough to say on air. No, unfortunately, I'm going to keep that one to myself.
Well, don't ask me because my number's
it's
way too high.
It's going to go up now because I'm injured. I haven't been playing so.
Well, you can work on your short game. You can do like the putting and the chipping, maybe. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, real quick. Speaking of Gaelic football, Luke, have you been to any of those matches? Those huge matches in I'm drawing a blank at the stadium in Dublin.
Croke Park.
Yes. Have you been to those matches?
Yeah, I've been to the All Ireland semifinals and whatnot. It's pretty crazy how the guys are all amateur. And they train more or less like professionals. And yeah, when I was a teenager, we played a final in there. Obviously, didn't have the big crowds like everyone else, so it was pretty cool to play there. And I know they, in the past, played some rugby games there, which was pretty cool as well.
It's maddening. They've had some big concerts in the day also. But it's maddening, this huge crowd. And again, like you said, amateur athletes. And it's just such a big deal, those matches, those games.
Yeah, I mean, 70, I think it's 70-something thousand, for the final, the last three games of the year. It's pretty incredible to think about it that way.
And what's the winner get? Just kind of bragging rights?
Yeah, bragging rights. No, they might get a little holiday out of it or something with their because obviously it's all amateur, so it's pride more than anything. Yeah.
What's next for you, Luke? I know we talked about, you know, your contract's up in 2022. I just mean in general, you know, let's talk about your goals as well for rugby. You know, are there, you're obviously reaching certain goals now playing professionally here in Major League Rugby, but are there other goals you're looking to reach in the near future?
Yeah, obviously my goals probably have changed in the last month or so, but yeah, I really want to get to that World Cup and hopefully, well, first of all, hopefully get back playing for the end of the season and then the World Cup qualifiers. And ultimately get to that World Cup. I know, you know, it doesn't seem like 4 years ago now when the 2019 World Cup was, or when it's 23. So yeah, hopefully just building towards that, that we qualify and putting a good performance, and hopefully that'll, you know, grow the game in the US and on a personal level, you know, getting to play against some world-class teams. And yeah, we'll take it from there. So for now, just getting fit, like I've already said, and yeah, go from there.
And off the pitch, you know, who is Luke Carty? Who are you? What's life like for you? Besides recovering from injury, besides that.
Yeah, depends who you ask. But yeah, at the moment, I'm just not doing an awful lot. Like I said, I was studying last year, so I've got my undergrad and my master's degree done. So I'm just focusing on rugby for the moment. Was a big fan of, never lived near the beach in Ireland. Obviously, it's a lot different, and different weather and stuff. So I'm enjoying being around that and getting the walk around there every day. So for now, it's rehabbing and then getting to go for my walk in the evening down by the beach.
It seems like, and this question comes up every so often, I've interviewed Paul Mullen, Adrian McGinty, a few other Irishmen as well. And a common thing comes up, maybe not with AJ, but a common thing comes up that they all seem to be musicians or sing. Paul Mullen plays the tin whistle. Paul Asike, who's not Irish, but he plays the guitar and sings very well. You know, what are your skills off the pitch?
After we played one of the games in Denver, myself and Honko got up and sang karaoke after a couple of beers. So I think you give me enough Dutch courage, I'll get up and sing. But yeah, played piano and stuff and guitar as a kid. I'm not anyway good at it, but yeah, maybe some Dutch courage karaoke.
Wait, what songs?
I think we sang Country Roads was what was our go-to. I don't think we did it justice, unfortunately.
Dude, every time I've been to Ireland, every pub I walk past that's a touristy area, there someone is playing Country Roads. Why?
If it's don't fit, if it's not broken, don't fix it, I think is the the answer there.
That's good enough. John, do you have any last comments, last questions?
Yeah, Luke, with the Six Nations resuming this weekend, you've got Ireland. They're in third, but, you know, level with England on points, maybe trailing in differential. What does Ireland got to do to turn this around and win it?
Yeah, I think the France game was, I'm not sure if many of you guys watched it, it was pretty good game. So, yeah, I reckon just, I don't know, back to the drawing board and try build for that England game, which will be pretty good. And, I mean, Italy, as much as, you know, the results aren't going their way, they seem to be constantly building and putting in better performances. So, yeah, hopefully to get a win there and go for the England game after that.
All right, listen, everybody, it's 9:59. We got a minute out. Luke, any last comments? Anything you'd like to share with our massive audience?
No, just thanks very much for having me on, and appreciate it. And whenever you guys need me again or need me to do anything, let me know. I'll be more than happy to help.
Thank you so much, Luke, for joining us. Peter, again, thanks for coming up. Jaden, thanks for coming up and speaking. Everybody, John, again, thanks for being the co-host and having some great questions today. We are here every Thursday, or most Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Please join us each time. Share this with everybody if you can. Let's get more and more people in here. This is about building fan bases and getting information about these guys. Luke, thanks again, everybody. Have a great weekend and good night.
Thank you.